Today, negative rates and stupidity, the DFA Daily to the 7th of January. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics World's latest post covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. And I want to start with negative interest rates because the Danes get a 20-year 0% mortgage, according to Bloomberg. The country with the longest history of negative central bank rates is offering homeowners 20-year loans at a fixed interest rate of zero. Customers at the Danish Home Finance Unit of Nordbank can, as of Tuesday, get the mortgages, which will carry a lower coupon than the benchmark US 10-year Treasury. At least two other banks have since said they'll do the same. Denmark stands out in a global context as a country that have lived with negative central bank rates longer than any other. Back in 2012, policymakers drove their main rate below zero to defend the krona's peg in the euro. Since then, Danish homeowners have enjoyed continuous slides in borrowing costs. The once unthinkable notion of borrowing for two decades without paying interest comes as central banks around the globe shy away from rate hikes. No major Western central bank is likely to raise rates this year, according to Bloomberg's quarterly review of monetary policy. Denmark has a so-called pass-through system in which mortgages are directly tied to the covered bonds used to fund the loans. Lenders act as brokers between borrowers and investors, generating income from fees, not interest rates. Borrowers get the coupon rate, though the effective cost is generally a bit higher because bonds rarely sell at par. As rates have continued to sink, other banks in Denmark, home to the world's biggest mortgage-backed covered bond market, are joining Norda. Total Credit, a unit of Denmark's largest mortgage lender, Nykredit Real Credit, says it will also offer 20-year loans at 0%. So too will Jens Bank, mortgage unit. And Danske Bank, Denmark's biggest bank, has signaled it may follow suit. Danish lenders first issued 20-year bonds with zero coupons a few years ago as investors looking for a safe place to park their money drove down rates. And this is the first time since then that such a product has returned to the shelves. Demand is there, Lisa Bergman, chief housing economist at Norda Credit, said in a note. The bonds backing the mortgage are likely to price close to a record high, she said. So that's really the key point. Negative interest rates may lead to 0% mortgages, but of course, fees will still be there because banks have to make a profit. Back in Australia, private sector housing approvals rose for the fifth consecutive month in November, and seasonally adjusted were at the highest recorded level since December 1999, according to data from the ABS today. Approvals for private houses have surged 40% since June. Federal and state housing stimulus measures and low interest rates have resulted in strong demand for detached dwellings. Approvals for private houses rose 6.1% in November, while dwellings excluding houses remained at subdued levels, falling 3.9%. And that's really the key contrast between houses and units. The apartment sector is still languishing. The total number of dwellings approved rose 2.6% in November in seasonally adjusted terms, and the rise in total dwellings was led by South Australia up 18.8%, followed by Queensland at 6.5% and New South Wales at 1.5%. But there were falls in Western Australia at 5.4%, Victoria at 4.6% and Tasmania at 0.4%. And approvals for private sector houses rose in all states in November. Queensland up 17%, Western Australia up 7.5%, South Australia up 2.8%, Victoria 1.5%, and New South Wales 0.7%. And the value of total buildings approved fell 8.4% in November, in seasonally adjusted terms, while the value of non-residential buildings drove the decrease, falling 27.4% after a strong October result. That was the highest since August 2019. And the value of total residential buildings increased 5.7%, comprising a 5.7% in new residential building and a 5.6% increase in alterations and additions. And the value of residential alterations and additions reached an all-time high in November. And that's the point also, that many people are not buying new houses, they're improving the ones that they're currently living in. And of course, there are government schemes to support that too. Elsewhere, less than half of all homeowners know their current home loan interest rate, despite homeowners ranking payments off their mortgage as their top priority, according to figures reported in Mortgage Business. It's new research by Mortgage Choice that found only 46.5% of Australian homeowners were aware of their current home loan interest rate. The research, which was commissioned by Mortgage Choice and conducted by Core Data via an online survey of just over 1,000 respondents across Australia, aged between 21 and 60, who were either first home buyers or homeowners or investors, found a disconnect between the increased financial concerns borrowers are experiencing as a result of the coronavirus pandemic and knowledge about whether their current interest rate is competitive. Research by Mortgage Choice over the years has revealed a consistent decline in borrower awareness of their interest rate and an increase in apathy towards mortgage interest rates. In 2016, 71% of respondents knew the rate on their mortgage, while 62% were aware in 2017 and 60% knew their interest rate in 2018. The latest figures have come at a time when 62% of respondents admitted that COVID-19 had caused them to worry more about money, and 65.6% saving more, spending less, and improving their financial knowledge in an effort to boost their resilience. Homeowners aged 30 to 39 were the most likely not to know their interest rate at 64.5%, closely followed by those aged 50 to 59 at 56.4%. When respondents were asked how often they review their home loan, 13.7% said never, and 44.4% said every couple of years, while only 41.9% review their loans annually. Commenting on the findings, Mortgage Choice CEO Susan Mitchell reiterated the contradictions in the research findings about the complacency about interest rates among respondents, despite many of them increasingly focusing on their finances. It's so important to know your interest rate, because if you've been complacent, the chances are that you're paying too much, she said. Every Australian should make it a New Year resolution to review their home loan, give yourself an early Christmas present by reducing your rate and saving on repayments. She urged borrowers who had not had their home loan reviewed in the last 24 months to speak to their broker or lender to learn if their home loan has remained competitive. In the past year alone, the cash rate has dropped by 65 basis points, and many lenders are open to negotiating on rate reductions, she said. Let's say your principal interest rate is 3.99%, and shopping around with the help of a mortgage broker enabled you to drop by 50 basis points to 3.49% on a 30-year home loan of $600,000. The savings would be in the vicinity of $150 a month. And Mortgage Choice also released research about first home buyers, which found that the home loan process is still shrouded in mystery for this cohort, and they would like more assistance with choosing and applying for a home loan. The same research by Mortgage Choice revealed that almost three quarters, or 71% of first home buyers, want more support when making decisions about financing a property purchase. Furthermore, 49% of first home buyers said that choosing and applying for a home loan is the number one area of the home purchasing process where they think they require support from others. Among those first home buyers who require more support, 39% would like someone to guide them through the loan process, while 26% needed someone to develop their knowledge and confidence. They showed that 32% of first home buyers have minimal confidence about understanding home loan features best suited for their needs, while 57% reported feeling highly or reasonably confident. Meanwhile, 11% of the respondents reported having no confidence at all in their ability to distinguish which home loan is right for them. In fact, Mortgage Choice listed the top five challenges that they identified when securing a home loan, which include understanding how the whole loan process works, that's 47%, ensuring that they're securing the best possible deal at 46%, ensuring that they qualify for the loan amount and property that they want to buy at 45%, and establishing what they can afford to comfortably pay back at 41%, and understanding what, if any, government support they qualify for at 37%. And when it comes to seeking support, half of all first home buyers said they rely on families, friends, and work colleagues, while 46% sought advice from mortgage brokers, and 36% rely on online information. And Mortgage Choice CEO Susan Mitchell said that the researcher confirmed that securing a home loan is a process that is shrouded in mystery for many first home buyers. She added that while historically low interest rates could benefit first home buyers, the research has pointed to the significant barriers this cohort faces in understanding how the buying process works. Taking out a home loan is a major financial commitment, and first home buyers quite rightly want to be sure that they have the loan in place that is right for their needs. And of course, Mortgage Choice is pushing brokers to help them understand that. They would, wouldn't they? But the fact is that first home buyers, I think, can become way more empowered by doing some basic research on their own behalf. And that is about using some of the comparison sites, get to be familiar with the various information sources and the terms that they use, and also very importantly remember that just because a bank says that you can afford to borrow and repay a particular loan doesn't necessarily mean that it's right for you, and therefore it's important to build your own cash flow so that you know where you stand financially. The fact of the matter is that just pushing it off to a mortgage broker is not necessarily good strategy, because many mortgage brokers frankly don't know as much as you think they do and may well make recommendations that benefit them rather than you, despite the new broker obligations that exist. And finally, as reported in the MPA, amid calls to extend Tasmania's moratorium on evictions, which expires at the end of January, a local landlord association has urged the state government to help tenants cover their existing debts. Tasmania halted evictions in March to help tenants suffering from financial hardship due to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. However, Louise Elliott, president of the Tasmania Residential Retail Property Owners Association, told the ABC News that residential landowners are now owed around $500,000 from tenants who could not pay their rents. That legislation has been taken advantage of, and everyday people have paid the price for that, she said. When you're a hairdresser, a plumber, an electrician, or a small business owner, and you've paid $1,000 in rent, that's difficult. While the moratorium has already been extended several times, tenant groups have called for a new extension to last until March, in line with New South Wales, Victoria, Western Australia, and South Australia. Ben Burrell, principal solicitor of the Tenants Union of Tasmania, told the ABC News that while there were a few bad eggs, most tenants had not taken advantage of the rent protections. And earlier in the week, Elsie Archer, Tasmania's Minister for Building and Construction, said that the support packages have helped to remove more than 78% of rent arrears from the residential tenancy market. But that may not be enough for landlords, according to Elliott. We do appreciate that a lot of tenants are already under immense financial and emotional stress, Elliott told ABC News, but having a plan in place that can cover paying back thousands of dollars over years rather than months makes much more sense to us. Now, this, I think, exposes one of the critical issues that we have. Many tenants are not clear whether the rents that they have been forgiven so far are actually foregone or just postponed till later. And in many cases, tenants are still in financial stress, particularly now as JobKeeper and JobSeeker is being tapered down. And therefore, this whole question of who pays what rent when, and when tenants may or may not be able to be evicted, is going to become a very significant issue in the next few months. And I wouldn't be surprised to see further postponement to protect tenants. But of course, if you're an investor and you no longer expect to receive any income on your investment property in the next few weeks, that's going to put more pressure on you to sell potentially down the track. This is a really wicked problem. And at the moment, my view is that people are considering the issues from the tenant's point of view, more so from the perspective of a property investor. One reason why we still believe, as we discussed yesterday, there'll be more property coming on the market in the next few months. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, and many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.